All right, so now we are going to talk about the background on the Foreign Relations Committee.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee was established in 1816 as one of the original 10 standing committees of the Senate. The committee is responsible for all dealings with foreign countries, not just militarily, but also trade and diplomatic relations. The Foreign Relations Committee is generally responsible for overseeing and funding foreign aid programs, as well as funding arms sales and training for national allies. The committee is also responsible for holding confirmation hearings for high-level positions in the Department of State. The committee has considered, debated, and reported important treaties and legislation, ranging from the purchase of Alaska in 1867 to the establishment of the United Nations in 1945. The Foreign Relations Committee is one of the oldest in the Senate, going back to the initial creation of committees in 1816.
Hello, thank you for having me. I am Senator James Risch of Idaho. I am the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I set the committee's agenda, determining when, or in many states, whether bills will be considered, and call the committee together to perform its duties. I preside and maintain order over meetings. As the lead Republican of the committee, I am focused on protecting the security and interests of the American people, in addition to continuing to advance U.S. prosperity and leadership in the world. I am confronting many issues like advancing the citizens' interests in businesses and international trade and investment supporting human rights and confronting the problem of sex trafficking. Okay, so now on to Senator Ron Johnson.
Hello, I am Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. I am part of the majority for the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. I am also the chairman of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee and also serve on the Budget, Foreign Relations, and Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. I am glad to be here to speak on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, so thank you for having me. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee has helped shape foreign policy of broad significance in matters of war and peace and international relations. Along with me and many other members of the committee, we have assisted in the negotiation of treaties and at times have helped to defeat treaties that we felt were not in the national interest. The majority party controls most committee staff and resources, but a portion is shared with the minority. All right, now on to Senator Cory Gardner.
Hello, I'm Senator Cory Gardner of Colorado. I'm a member of the Senate Energy and Natural Resource Committee and chairman of the Energy Subcommittee. In addition, I serve on the Foreign Relations Committee and the Commerce, Science, and Transportation Committee. I also serve as chairman of the Subcommittee on East Asia, the Pacific, and International Cybersecurity Policy. As chairman of the Foreign Relations Subcommittee on East Asia, the Pacific, and International Cybersecurity Policy, I, along with many other United States senators, reintroduced a bipartisan bill to explicitly prohibit any president of the United States from withdrawing from NATO without Senate approval. NATO is the most successful military alliance in history, and any effort to abandon it would be a monumental mistake. Our NATO allies have fought alongside our troops since World War II, and we don't want to mess that up. Our alliance with NATO is more important than ever to ensure the safety of the American people. I work every day to ensure the safety of American citizens and to make sure we have mainly good relationships with other countries.
Hello, I am Senator Mitt Romney of Utah. I am part of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, along with Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, Committee on Homeland Security and Government Affairs, and Committee on Small Business and Entrepreneurship. I think we must promote our values of freedom and free enterprise through our diplomacy, economic ties, alliances, and other soft power tools, and when nations attack our infrastructure, elections, technology, or vital interests, we should retaliate and punish their behavior with appropriate and meaningful measures. I back President Trump's stance on the partial government shutdown and also back his call for a wall on the southern border, and I don't understand Democrats' positioning on the issue. It will help secure our country and help our relationships with other countries. Our purpose of the Foreign Relations Committee is to have positive relationships with other countries to protect our own. That is all for the background on the Foreign Relations Committee. Now on to how
The government shutdown affects our committee and the community.
Senator Bob Menendez, who was the top Democrat for our committee, had argued that the shutdown continues to create a real risk for U.S. foreign policy. He stated that diplomacy would be negatively affected, he said, if officials went unpaid, adding that it was impossible to hold a government together with duct tape. Since the government shutdown had been going on for weeks, relationships with other countries have been weakened, and it has made it hard for the business and communities to trade with other countries because they believe that our country is weak and don't want to lose money and gone bad. Adding on to that, the government shutdown has affected our committee greatly, and we were not getting paid. Our committee's job is to fund foreign aid programs and to fund arms sales and training for national allies, and without money coming in, it makes it difficult to do our job. National Park, TSA, and other committees were also affected by the government shutdown. Now, Senator James E. Rich will introduce himself.
Do you love your country? Do you want to help? Do you want to get involved? Volunteering or enlisting in the military is a great way to help. There are so many options to help your country. You could be in the Army, Navy, Marines, and so many more. Call 1-800-345-6789 or visit www.military.gov today to get started for free. That's 1-800-345-6789 or www.military.gov today for free.
We're going to start with current topics. Our first topic is House passage of Trafficking Victims Protection Reauthorization Act.
So, basically the passage of this piece of legislation is strengthening the U.S. global leadership in the fight to abolish modern slavery and human trafficking.
Yes, this act is from 2017, but it just now is getting praised by the Senators Bob Corrick and Bob Menendez, but it has four main points.
The Reauthorization Act amends and reauthorizes international provisions of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act.
It's also modifying the criteria, which determines if the countries are meeting the minimum standards for the effort to eliminate trafficking or not.
Along with that, the act really shows to our country and others how serious we are about abolishing human trafficking.
To bring that to action, the act is extending authorization for United States programs to combat trafficking.
I mean, we're really getting serious about this more than ever and taking action in abolishing this worldwide problem.
I mean, in all, this sounds like a pretty good plan and good way to really take on the modern slavery.
I really like the idea, and changing the criteria, it will definitely make a difference and put us a step closer to eliminating it.
Slavery is a worldwide problem and something that can be tackled in one night, but I do agree that it is a good start.
Right now, it's extremely important that we reassert our leadership in advocating for what's right.
Menendez had said this, "Now more than ever, America must continue to lead the world in advocating for justice, freedom, and human rights. I am proud that Congress is finally reasserting that leadership."
There's a fund for the ending of modern slavery worldwide, and in 2017, the U.S. made a $25 million contribution, and countries are continuing to add to the fund, like the U.K. and Norway.
Norway was the most recent to add it to this past week. With
the next topic is Portman's congressional efforts to lead the end of slavery worldwide.
Basically, to go along with the act we previously talked about, the end of human trafficking is becoming a huge topic.
Corker, the chairman of Senate Foreign Relations Committee, is leaving the end of modern slavery efforts in the hands of Rob Portman.
Corker recently stated, "For years, Senator Portman has been a champion in Congress in the fight against human trafficking here at home, and I can think of no one better to take up the mantle in the global fight against this scourge on humanity as I depart the Senate."
Human trafficking is a huge issue, so putting it in the hands of Portman is a huge honor to him.
Honestly, I think we need to demand the world to make
a group effort and commitment to end this.
It needs to end. This is crazy that it is even happening. I need to see everyone interested in putting a stop to it. We can't do this alone.
Did you know more than 27 million people are enslaved around the world right now? That is more than at any time in history.
27 million people? More than it was back during the civil rights time period.
I'm in for this more than anything, and I will stand alongside Portman as he leads us in this global fight.
Some people don't really grasp how big of an issue it is. Human trafficking encompasses many different situations.
It includes forced labor and commercial sex, using violence, deception, or coercion.
During his time in the Senate, Portman had authored six federal anti-trafficking laws designed to better serve victims and help law enforcement in this crime,
including most recently the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act, SESTA, which is helping to curb the explosion of online sex trafficking and give victims what they need to hold accountable websites that knowingly facilitate the trafficking of women and children online.
Topic is resolution condemning the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. Jamal Khashoggi, a Saudi journalist and columnist for the Washington Post, was murdered.
Last heard, they were holding Saudi Arabia Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman accountable for his death.
The resolution condemns Khashoggi's killing and insists on accountability for those involved in his death.
Honestly, I completely believe Prince Mohammed is guilty.
After our unanimous vote blaming him for it, I think it's obvious how we all feel.
Although we've come upon this decision, I definitely think we need to pull out of this war.
The U.S. involvement on Saudi's side for the Yemen war is not crucial, and I think we need to extract ourselves from where we are.
The resolution is expected to be considered by the full Senate.
The United States-Saudi Arabia relationship is more important to the U.S. national security and economic interests, so they want to figure this out.
However, misleading statements by the government of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia regarding the murder of Jamal Khashoggi have undermined trust and confidence in the long-standing friendship between the United States and the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Such erratic actions place unnecessary strain on the United States Saudi Arabia relationship, which is an essential element of their regional stability.
The U.S. demands that the Saudi-led coalition and all parties to the Yemen conflict seek to minimize civilian casualties at all times.
So many Saudi and Yemen civilian casualties are happening to an inconceivable amount.
They also demand that all parties seek an immediate ceasefire and negotiated political solution to the Yemen conflict and increased humanitarian assistance to the victims of the conflict.
The resolution condemns the government of Iran's provision of advanced lethal weapons to Houthi rebels, which have perpetrated the conflict and have used indiscriminately against civilian targets in Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and the Bab al-Mandeb waterway.
It also declares that there is no statutory authorization for United States involvement in hostilities in the Yemen civil war and supports the end of air-to-air refueling of Saudi-led coalition aircraft operating in Yemen.
Now moving on to our fourth topic, the BUILD Act.
BUILD stands for the Better Utilization of Investments Leading to Development Act.
This act puts private sector dollars to work in developing countries and ultimately reduces the need for American foreign aid.
Some examples of this include building infrastructure, creating first-time access to electricity, starting businesses, creating jobs, and much more.
The BUILD Act was passed on October 5th, 2018, and was introduced to Congress by Senator Bob Corker.
The Congressional Budget Office, CBO, also expects this act will decrease direct federal spending by $20 million over 10 years. Our next topic is the resolution of the Greek-Macedonia name dispute.
Let's start with a little background on the Greek and Macedonia name dispute. In 1980, Macedonia started the long, hard process of separating and gaining independence from Yugoslavia. Ever since then, there has been a lot of problems between them, and eventually Greece became involved.
This became a problem for Greece because they have had a city-state named Macedonia, so it causes a lot of problems and confusion. Because of this, Greece wants the country Macedonia to change its name to the Republic of North Macedonia.
This has been a very long process because for this to happen, North Macedonia would have to change all license plates, passports, identification cards, driver's license, official documents, revise any school textbooks, and change and print new money.
The dispute was finally settled in mid-2018 by the signing of the PRESPA agreement. This states that North Macedonia will agree to all of Greece's terms.
We are very glad Greece and Macedonia finally found a solution after many years of argument. Hopefully, this will help both countries grow equally.
One main hope of this agreement is that it will remove an obstacle to Macedonia's long-awaited accession into both NATO and the EU.
Our last topic is release of American pastor Andrew Brunson from Turkey.
Andrew Brunson is a pastor who was originally from North Carolina. He moved to Turkey and has lived there for over 2 decades with his wife and 3 children.
In 2016, he was arrested by Turkish authorities after a failed military coup against President Recep Tayyip Erdogan earlier in the year. Brunson was one of thousands who were arrested. Brunson was accused of being a spy with links to the outlawed Kurdistan Workers Party, PKK. Into Pennsylvania-based Muslim preacher Fethullah Gulen, whom Turkish authorities blame for the coup attempt.
He was facing 2 different charges, one with a 15-year sentence and the other with 20 years, combining to 35 years in prison. He originally was going to be charged with membership of Gulen's group and risk life imprisonment.
U.S.-Turkey relations were already fraught because of U.S. support for Kurdish forces fighting in Syria, whom President Erdogan considers terrorists. Brunson's case only raised the tensions. In July, a summit was held in the U.S., and afterwards, Mike Pence tweeted out threats to the Turkish government. Trump followed through on Pence's threats a week later, sanctioning 2 high-ranking Turkish officials and imposing tariffs on imports of Turkish steel and aluminum. He later doubled them.
A Turkish court sentenced Brunson to 3 years and 1.5 months in prison, but ruled he had already served enough time since he was detained in October 2016. He was then later released from prison on October 12, 2018.
Lastly is our fan question round, where we have our senators respond to your questions that you've sent in.
What effects do you think the shutdown had on a global level?
It created a problem with foreign trade and made America look like a weaker country.
Do you think the shutdown was worth it?
No, because millions of workers went unpaid.
Who is the main cause of the shutdown?
Democrats are mainly to blame for refusing to give money for the wall.
What was something good that came out of the shutdown?
It gave Democrats a chance to show their power in the Senate.
Solution to modern slavery.
The solution to modern slavery is not a simple and easy question, and it will take a lot of time and effort.
What is the Greek and Macedonian name dispute, and why is it significant?
As we mentioned before, it is the debate between Greece and Macedonia over the name Macedonia and its significance because it is a big show of diplomacy in the modern world.
What is and who is leading the Build Act?
The Build Act is using money to help aid third world countries by helping them develop and grow. It is being led by Congress, and we believe that it can decrease government spending by $20 million.
Release of an American pastor from Turkey.
Release of an... he had been accused of being a spy, and to get him out, Trump posted large tariffs on Turkish goods.
That is all. Thank you for listening.